So our text is from the prophet Malachi, these words, "Lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction." That's Malachi 4:6. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our text from the prophet Malachi causes us to think of the common saying, the idiom, a little bit of shared wisdom we've all heard, and that is to learn something the hard way. To learn something the hard way. What is that? What does it mean when we learn something the hard way? I think we all know learning something the hard way is when we learn something not from a book, nor from having been told one thing or another by someone, but learning something the hard way is when we learn by experience, and specifically, a rather unpleasant experience. That's when we learn something the hard way. One of my trips back to college in Michigan from Colorado, I found myself riding as a passenger. As a passenger in an old pickup truck, a 1965 Ford, towing a 28-foot trailer that had the household goods of two families, heading back to the seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, after Vicarages in Denver. Now, I was in my early 20s then and didn't know much about such things, but even then, there in Denver, taking in that old truck and that trailer so heavily loaded, things looked a little bit iffy to me. Well, we made it across Nebraska, the trailer swaying back and forth and back and forth the whole way. Well, we almost made it. Going 55 miles an hour, boy, those were the days, before something seemed amiss. So we pulled over on I-80 just outside of Lincoln, and we discovered that the gentle swaying of the trailer all day long had worked the ball loose on the hitch. That was close. There we were, on the side of the road, I-80, Nebraska. It took us a while to find a wrench to tighten the ball. Well, we stayed overnight in Lincoln, but then heading into Iowa the next morning, we hit the first long hill there in western Iowa, and that was it for the truck. The rear end went out. Trailer was just too heavy. Side of the road again, I-80, Iowa. We disconnected the trailer, leaving it at a truck stop, and we limped into the next town, and we spent the remainder of the day looking for a used pickup truck that would tow the trailer, and we found one eventually, a one-ton Ford that had over 200,000 miles on it and needed a quart of oil every time we stopped for gas. Well, it easily towed the trailer until the radiator blew. Side of the road again, I-80, Iowa. At that point, I was transferred to a car that was following us from Denver, a car which almost made it to Fort Wayne, Indiana, before the alternator died. It's a true story. Side of the road again, Highway 30, Northern Indiana. We ended up arriving in Fort Wayne, finally in a tow truck towing that car, and 2 days later, heading up to Ann Arbor in that truck, the radiator blew again. The side of the road again. I-69, Southern Michigan. Now, a lot of learning took place on that trip. A lot of learning the hard way. Especially as repeatedly I found myself sitting by the side of the road waiting for help of one form or another to arrive. Yes, we were young. Yes, we were foolish. Yes, the attempt to save money had cost much more. Why did we have to learn how to travel, to move the hard way? Why? Why in general does it seem like we have to learn things the hard way? Not surprisingly, I found a list on the internet of 12 reasons why. 12 reasons why people are forced to learn things the hard way. That is through suffering. Number one, I know what I'm doing. That's what we say to ourselves, right? Well, obviously we didn't on that trip. I'll do it just this once. Yeah, and that one time idea resulted in a lot of downtime sitting on the side of highways across the Midwest. It won't matter anyway. That's number three. It obviously did on that trip. Number four, I don't have time. We should have taken more time in preparation instead of wasting it beside the road. Number five, the 12 reasons why people have to learn things the hard way. I'm rarely wrong, but we were at that time. Number six, I always do it this way. It doesn't mean it's the right way. What do they know is number seven? More than we did. Number eight, no one ever told me. Well, they did, but we didn't listen. Looks good to me. Number nine, what did we know about towing? I'm so unlucky. That's number 10. No, we weren't unlucky. We just made bad decisions. 11, I don't care how others did it. But we should have. 12, I'm too old to learn a new way. How old is that, really? The application. The prophet Malachi in our text tells us about the advent of John the Baptist, about God sending Elijah, that is John the Baptist, before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. What is that great and terrible day? The day when all the sin of mankind, it's going to be exposed, open to all, and payment for sin will then be made. Payment in destruction and everlasting separation from the God of life. That is separation from living without pain and suffering and agony. And that day being on the horizon for mankind yet today, why would God even send someone to the people of Israel before the last day, before the end of the world? Why? So that the children of Israel will not meet with destruction because of all the things that they had done. In other words, the children of Israel would not need to learn about sin and death and damnation the hard way. That is by experiencing it. By experiencing it and suffering out of their foolishness. All the children of Israel needed to do was to listen to the preaching of Malachi, pointing them to the advent of John the Baptist, who would preach to them to repent of their sins and turn to and follow the one to whom John would proclaim, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, in whom there is the forgiveness of sin. Now the same holds true for us today, for us and for the entire world today, right now. For the end of the world is coming, and the end of the world is coming so that a new world, a new heaven, and a new earth can replace it. A new heaven and a new earth where there will be no sin, where there will be no death, where there will be no suffering. But God, our loving Heavenly Father, doesn't want us to learn about sin and death and destruction the hard way. That is by experiencing it. He wants us to avoid sin, to avoid death, avoid destruction by our listening to the voice of John the Baptist, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." By listening to the voice of Jesus, our Savior, from sin and death and destruction. Why is He our Savior? Because God raised Jesus from the dead. God raised Jesus from the dead, demonstrating to the world that He had accepted the sacrifice for sin made by Jesus on the cross. Made for you, made for me. And that's why Jesus could teach us what? Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rests for your soul. You know, the Christian faith in its simplest form is really just listening to Jesus, learning from Jesus, living in Jesus. Jesus as the way and the truth and the life. It truly is the Christian life, living the easy way. It's the easy way, like having a book to assemble a machine is the easiest way to assemble it. Now, I've ripped apart a number of machines and I put them back together again. It's like taking apart a huge puzzle piece by piece and then putting it back together, trying to remember how it went together in the first place. That can be kind of a challenge. Recently, however, I've been putting together a machine that has a book. Has a book, step-by-step instructions with pictures as to how to do it, as to how to put it back together. Compared to the other way, the hard way, it's easy. Again, Christ taught us, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That is, in Christ, our life can indeed be easy. As in Christ, we have all the answers to the questions of life. All other ways of living are going to be lived the hard way. That is, through the experience of suffering. And that includes suffering and internal separation from the God of life on the last day. Yeah, but, we may respond, yeah, but, number one, I know what I'm doing with my life. Really? Do you? Number two, I've done really bad stuff, but only once. But the memory of it still haunts you, doesn't it? Number three, and it won't matter anyway, but it will. Apart from Christ, there's nothing. Apart from Christ, there's nothing, nothing but death and destruction. Number four, I don't have time to learn from Christ. Well, yes, you do. Number five, I'm rarely wrong. But in this case, you are. Number six, I've always lived this way, but that doesn't mean there's not a better way to live that you can start right now. Number seven, what do you know, Pastor? Well, it's not what I know. It's what God knows and what life is and how you are living it. Number eight, no one ever told me there was a better way. Well, they're telling you now. Number nine, but my life looks good to me. Well, if you continue to ignore all the bad stuff and live in denial like you have been for years. Number 10, I'm so unlucky. No, but you make bad decisions, and those bad decisions are what the Bible calls sin, and they cause your suffering. I don't care how others live, that's number 11. But what if they have a better way of living? 12, I'm too old to learn a new way. You're never too old to repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. He who conceals his transgressions, we read in Proverbs 29, he who conceals his transgressions will not prosper. But he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord always, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. He who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. Proverbs 29. You know, as modern people, enlightened as we are, operating computers of all things daily, each of us, cell phones with which we can call anyone in the world, and driving cars that our ancestors could only dream about, as modern people, it seems, we have a hard time with cause and effect. Cause and effect when it comes to sin. What do I mean? I mean that it seems like on the one hand we have sin, the stupid things we've done, the bad things we've done, the wrong things we've done, and we know they're stupid and bad and wrong because our conscience tells us they are. And on the other hand, we have the bad things that have happened to us, the ways in which we've suffered in our lives. And we fully admit that both things have occurred. That is, we've done some bad things and we've suffered. But we are loath. We will never, ever connect the two. Our sin? Bad decisions. Our suffering? Bad luck. What are we doing there? We're refusing to admit that what happens to us in life has anything to do with how we act, what we say, what we do. And you know what we really are doing when that occurs? You know what we're doing? You know what we're doing when we're doing that? We're refusing to learn even the hard way. We're refusing to learn, even the hard way. In other words, we're just living, carving a path through life and ignoring the consequences of our actions, and that being the case, what's left? If we can't even learn the hard way about the relationship of death and suffering to sin, and if we refuse simply to listen to our Savior Jesus, who would save us from our sins, there is nothing left for us but that decree of utter destruction we read about in Malachi, that great and terrible day of the Lord. And then what? Then what? As we see ourselves on that day consigned to suffering and torment in hell, instead of living in a new heaven and a new earth in righteousness and holiness and blessedness, what then are we going to say to ourselves? Well, I guess that didn't go well. Are we going to pull out our 12 excuses that we've used throughout our lives, which prevent us from learning anything from life itself? Is life created by God? How pathetic will we be at that moment? Even more pathetic than I was as I sat there on I-80 over 30 years ago in Nebraska, and then in Iowa, and then on Highway 30 in Indiana, and I-69 in Michigan. Now, the foolishness of which I had become a part on that trip was readily apparent to every car and truck rolling past us on all of those rolls, all of those roads, and all of those states. Let's take the easy way. Take the way that's light, that is the way of Christ, a life in Christ, living daily through faith in Christ, and look forward to living eternally with Christ. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the offertory.